Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. And once again, thank you for joining us. Now, our topic today is about financial planning. There's new research out there that says that 5 in 10 clients of financial planners are highly satisfied with their wealth versus 3 in 10 unadvised consumers. So let me repeat that. 5 in 10 of clients of financial planners are highly satisfied with where they're at, with their wealth and their bank balance, compared to 3 in 10. So that's quite a powerful statement. And there are so many, I believe, having covered the financial planning industry for a couple of decades, a lot of misinformation and perhaps misunderstanding about what is the value of financial advice. So today, our guest is David Sharp, who is the chair of the FPA board back in May 2022. So the FPA stands for the Financial Planning Association. And after a year as deputy chair and has been a financial planner and FPA member since 2003. Just to give you a little bit about what he knows about this topic, he completed a diploma in financial planning, holds a Bachelor of Commerce with distinction, and now he runs his own self-licensed financial planning firm, Globe Financial Planning, based in West Perth. David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. And I should just add one thing to that is the FPA merged earlier this year with the AFA, and we are now the FAAA, which is the Financial Advice Association of Australia.
Fantastic. All right. So let's tackle the 4 myths about financial planning. And please wait till the very end, because we are going to end with the most damaging financial myth of all. But first, with financial planning, if you've watched the news, maybe several years ago, there was the Royal Commission. There was a lot of news about financial planning is kind of biased. It doesn't give value. And that the myth here is financial planning lacks objectivity. David, what do you say to that?
I've heard that before, and certainly if your only exposure to financial advice came through the Royal Commission into misconduct, I can absolutely see why people would think that. But I want to make listeners abundantly aware, we have a universal code that all advisors have to apply to. That means we have a best interest duty, which means we have to, by law, in fact, in 2 laws, put our clients' interests first ahead of ourselves. And so we have what's called a best interest duty, and we also have a code. Within there is another best interest obligation as well. So by law, by our code of ethics, we have to put our clients' interests first. And we do that. We have 16,000 peers, and we go to work each and every day to improve the financial well-being of our clients. That's why we exist.
Yes, and there is research that over 9 in 10 clients of financial planners report that they do trust that their financial planner is acting in their best interest. But David, I'm not expecting you to kind of represent the entire industry, but why is it that this myth or misconception has like perpetuated for such a long time?
There is a little bit, Michelle, with the media that you have bad news sales, right? And so therefore, a news story that says client sees financial advisor has a great experience and improves their life outcome isn't probably going to make the front page of the newspaper. Scandal like we've seen, not with a financial planner like Michelle Caddick, where there's a scam and someone loses millions of dollars and a foot washes up on a beach, that makes a good news story and people hear about that. And unfortunately, in that scenario, particularly early articles, it called her a financial advisor, a financial planner. She wasn't. And we unfortunately are tarnished with that. What she was a scam artist. And unfortunately, they're the stories that people hear more regularly in the media rather than the many stories, the many thousands, tens of thousands of stories of clients seeking great advice and getting great outcomes. Hence, those who see a financial planner report really positive outcomes. It's those who don't see one who don't quite know what to expect.
So with all this bad news, for example, with Michelle Caddick, and there is a lot of negativity around what's in fact crimes committed by people who are unlicensed to give financial planning. So how can an individual find out that you are looking after their welfare or their finances independently?
The first thing, Michelle, you talk about being licensed, and if I can, the absolute minimum thing you should be doing before engaging anyone to give you financial advice is to check that they're licensed. And so ASIC, who's our regulator, has a website called Money Smart. It's actually a consumer-focused website. It's good for people to go and have a read, but in there is a list, is a search tool for licensed advisors. So that would be the absolute minimum. Make sure that your advisor is licensed. The next step I would suggest is go to the FAAA website. That's a Find an Advisor. We have thousands of members, and they have, for many, many years, voluntarily applied to a rigorous and ethical code, and that's probably where you're going to find the best advisors.
Myth number two, financial planning costs more than it's worth. Here we are. So can you kind of address that?
Absolutely. I'm going to share an idea that maybe people haven't heard before, which is the difference between the words price, value, and cost, right? So price is the arbitrary price that maybe an advisor is going to charge for the work that they do. But value is what the client receives. So as much as I can say, oh, you'll get great value, ultimately it's a client sees an advisor and they're the ones to perceive value. And that value can be tangible, as in tax savings, investment returns, pure dollars and cents, or it could be intangible, which is they know they can no longer have to look after their finances, they've got someone to help them with it, or they've got peace of mind that, you know, they put their head on the pillow at night, they're not stressed that they're going to lose the house, particularly, you know, a lot of people feel that at the moment with cost of living. And then cost is, well, what do you have to give up, and what's the trade-off? And often it's not just the value of those tax savings or superannuation returns or things like that. It's actually sometimes just stopping people making really poor decisions. So simple things like that well outweigh the cost to the advisor themselves.
Yes, in fact, we're willing to pay hundreds of dollars for plumbing services, right? So, you know, what's the value there? But to be honest, I think people understand that it costs a lot to put a financial plan together, and that you have to be an expert when you're trying to map out your retirement, for example. But they just don't want to be ripped off. This is the thing, like, is $5,000 sounds a lot, for example. There's research 5 years ago that a financial plan should really only be worth $300, which is it's not sustainable. So people just want transparency around, well, what is the value that you're giving for the thousands of dollars that I'm going to pay you?
It's a great question. So you talked about a transparency. So again, I'll come back to the ethical code that we all fall under. And there's a requirement there for free and informed consent for any fees that we're going to charge. You should know upfront exactly what the fees are. I'll come back to something I said before around value. Value is perceived. So that, again, there's those tangible values where, you know, you're going to make sure that, you know, you set your goals, you set your targets, you're on track, you save tax, you get investment returns. They're certainly going to should be outweighed by the fees that you pay. And there's those intangible benefits as well, which is, you know, often what a financial planner does really skillfully is help people target what's really important to them. You know, that is it actually a house move? Is it starting a family? Is it retiring sooner? Is it being able to take a less stressful job? And actually enabling them to make those decisions by stopping them do silly things that help sabotage them. Maybe they're dining out too often, but it's not really a big deal, or they're wasting money. That's often where a lot of the skill comes from as well. You mentioned before $5,000. I would imagine in many cases when an advisor takes a client on and they're going to charge that, they have their duty bound to make sure they're value for money. And I would expect adding significantly higher value than that. But again, value is always perceived by the consumer, not by the provider.
Yes, agree. Myth number three, second last myth that we're going to talk about today, financial advice is only for the rich. This is, I agree. Like, people probably think, oh, I can't afford a financial plan right now. I can do that later in life.
Yeah, it's very true. But there are financial planners that suit all ranges of people and what they're searching for. You know, I will often talk about people might be starting a family and they've got mortgages, and you mentioned insurances before. You know, what happens if one of the income earners no longer has a job due to injury or illness? Now, this is work that you might need to go and get done early in life when you're starting a family. I can say it's not just for the rich. The evidence is out that even those earning less than, there's a number of people earning less than, say, $120,000, there's significant satisfaction levels increased seeing an advisor, and there was value for money there. It is not just for rich. Now, you may not be talking about having an investment portfolio of $1 million and all those sorts of things. That's not what advice is about. It's about helping a client understand where they're at, what they want to achieve, and then helping them get there.
And now finally, to the most damaging myth of all, financial planning is only needed at retirement.
Absolutely. I often say to people, there's this thing called the financial echo, which is the decisions you make, whether it's in our 20s or 30s or 40s, that impact has this compounding impact over many years, many decades. And there's this great meme people may have seen where, like, I'm going to retire tomorrow. They say a financial plan. I'm going to retire tomorrow, make it all happen. Well, sometimes it's too late. And the earlier you can start making good money decisions, having good money habits, leaving it to retirement is often leaving it too late. It's like being in a, we've just had some grand finals recently, Michelle. It's like getting to the last couple of minutes, you're 10 goals down and decide, oh, okay, we'll start playing now. Don't leave it too late. Get into it early. Start making really good habits, and it will leave you in a much better stead come retirement. But don't leave it to the last couple of months beforehand. You're probably leaving it too late.
Yes, I think it's surely, and unfortunately, that's a reality, though, where a lot of people, when they're in their 61, 62, that's when they start thinking about their retirement, because mm-hmm. they're planning to retire in a couple of years. By then, they're really narrowing their options, as opposed to even if they did it in their 40s or 50s.
There's a great proverb, Michelle, which was the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the next best time is now. And I'll use that with financial planning as well. The best time to call an advisor was probably 20 years ago, but the next best time is now, because we can't change the past.
Agree. Now, thank you so much for that, David. Just to wrap up again, myth number one, financial planners lack objectivity. Not true. Over 9 in 10 clients of financial planners report they trust their financial planner to act in the client's best interest. Just do your research, do your Google reviews, or perhaps it is a warm referral from someone you know. Myth number two, financial planning costs more than it's worth. Again, not true. 8 in 10 clients of financial planners says the benefits of financial planning outweigh the cost. Third, financial planning is only for the rich. Again, 3 in 4 financial planning clients earn $120,000 or less per year. So if you're around that ballpark, you can afford a financial plan. And finally, financial planning is only needed at retirement. 9 in 10 millennials who work with a financial planner agree that financial planning has left them better off financially. And like David said, don't wait to do those 10 goals in the last 5 minutes of the game. And with that, we wrap up. Once again, David, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends or family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. If you want to ask David Sharp more questions, again, the industry association is called the FAAA. Just Google it and I'm sure you'll be able to connect with him. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.